welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. You know the drill, you know the deal. We're going to reveal some stuff that was geeky from last week. As always, I'm your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom from the internet. And once again, I am joined by the coolest, the smoothest, definitely not the rudest. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey all, it is me, Stephanie. I am Captain Steph on the Twitters, I am the Snowqueer on the Tumblrs, and we are excited to talk about a bunch of some good news and some bad news of last week.
Yeah, so, we have so much, but, you know, in the meantime, how you doing today, Steph? I haven't talked to you in a couple days, it feels like.
I'm doing pretty good. That's good. You know what's some good news that we should mention right away, and then also again at the end?
Yes. Do the thing.
So, these bitches are finally on iTunes.
We are. We're there. We made it. Character Reveal's on iTunes. And Geekly Reveal, of course, by association. So, There's going to be some roughness with a couple of character reveals where we still are acting like we're not. But, you know, those were filmed in advance. You know, recorded in advance. You know, stumbling over words today. It's a hallmark of a good podcast. But yeah, we're on iTunes. That was a, 7-month journey?
Yeah, 8-month journey. The opposite of a May-December romance. It's May-December enmity.
We made like a small, glitchy kind of error on our part that took way too long to sort out. You know, we could take credit for the initial fumble, but like, the ball was not picked up for a long time to complete the sports metaphor. But yeah, we're there. Other sports news. Steelers won their game the other day. Congratulations to them. Awesome. I'm happy.
Well done.
And you want to talk about some nerdy stuff now?
Yeah, let's do that.
So let's get all the garbage out of the way first. There's only a little bit of garbage. So you knew about this. You want to kick it for the people?
Yeah, okay. So Abrams Books, which is a children's book publisher, among other things, has decided to, like, in the vein of, like, You're Only Old Once and, like, other books that look like children's books but aren't actually children's books that are, like, a funny parody children's book, like, a gifty thing to give someone, like, in a Secret Santa or something, someone you don't know that well, like...
Like those dirty coloring books?
Yeah, like a swear word coloring book or, like, a Everything I Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book, which is, like, made to look like a little golden book but it's not actually a golden book inside. Stuff like that.
Espionage.
So they put out a series of what they called parody books that ran kind of the gamut from just, like, dumb parody all the way to, like, horrifically racist nonsense.
Of course, that's the natural order of things, apparently.
Yeah, so, like, there was a book that was called something like The Indian Giver or something like that, but it was, like, a Native American family, like, in full tribal garb, giving a smallpox blanket to a little kid as, like, a present.
Oh, terrific. That's amazing.
Yeah, a little white kid.
That's the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Oh,
right?
Awful.
Isn't it horrible? Yeah, and, like a little girl in, like, part of a burqa, like, just covering her head, giving, like, a ticking present to a little white boy. That one was written by the fake author Ben Laden.
There's the obvious level of offensiveness there. Like, obviously, that's horribly racist and insensitive, right? So, let me take off my SJW hat for a second. And those are just shitty jokes. Like, they're not that good. They're not... the level of offense you caused to somebody wasn't worth you saying... The joke wasn't worth you saying, huh, but you get it, Ben Laden? You get it? Like, the joke wasn't really that funny, you know? You wouldn't be able to defend that to, like, your racist buddies as being that good of a joke, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't see what the utility was for. Like,
yeah, so, a ton of people called him out, including Barry Goldblatt, who's one of the biggest literary agents in the business, like, said, like, fuck this, like, look, like, watch me ever sell a book to Abrams again, like, have fun. And so everyone was very, very unhappy, and then Abrams made the slick move of deciding that they were the, harmed one in all of this, saying that people were calling for censorship. It's to throw back a couple weeks. Let's think about it. It's kind of the Milo Manara move of the Frank Cho of parody children's books. So that they're
the real victims here.
Yeah, and like the National Board Against Censorship or something made a statement saying like this is censorship. That it turns out that the one of the chairman of Abrams Books is also on that same board, so, like...
Like, the anti-censorship committee?
The anti-censorship committee, so, like, are you really protesting this as censorship, or are you just pissed that you're going to lose a lot of money on these books you already printed? And...
Like, is that the hill you want to die on? Like...
Yeah, like...
So, you know, when you turn on Comedy Central, like, most days, it's going to be that puppet dude. I can't even remember his name.
Oh,
like,
I know who you mean.
Yeah, everyone knows who I mean. Like, he's not that funny.
Yeah.
But, like, these are, like, jokes that he was making in his first special when, like, Islamophobia was, like, really in vogue, which it never should have been, but, like, that initial,
like,
backlash.
Like, 2002, like...
Yeah, when it would have played a lot easier, like, even those jokes would have been, like... Come on, dude, you're not even trying. Like, that's kind of not even good. I'm just taken aback. Like, why do you want to die on this hill, you know?
Yeah, and so now they've after a 24-hour news cycle of being completely shat on, they have decided to continue the martyr role, but also pull the books. Say, like, the jokes didn't land the way we expected them to, and we don't want to cause harm because people couldn't get the joke. So we're gonna pull these, and let me just say there are, like, 2 or 3 jobs opening at Abrams Books in the last, like, 24 hours, and I did not even apply to one of them.
People are jumping ship quick, probably, like, let me get out of here.
Yeah, so, and I was like, awful, and I'm not gonna work at your company. Check off, like, a box of places that I will never be applying to.
That's stupidness.
Again,
It's lowbrow and it's not funny. Like, you gotta at least do one of those if you want to be, like, a quote satire comic. If you want to be that kind of a person, comic, like, in the comedian sense, you gotta bring your A game. You can't bring your D game and then offend people and then act like, oh, people didn't get our joke. Like, a first grader got that joke, buddy. A first grader who was not alive during
9/11,
a lot of these things.
Like...
Come on, man. Well, some good news. Also, you know, I guess we can pivot on the Native American thing. The Dakota Pipeline kind of got rerouted. That's a good step in the right direction, right?
Yeah, the Army Corps of Engineers came in finally and said that they're not going to let them put the pipeline through that lake that was right through the middle of the Standing Rock Reservation. It doesn't mean that the pipeline isn't going to be built somewhere else. They said that it's not going to go here.
Right.
So people are still, like, keeping an eye out. Like, there's no guarantee that they're not going to drill against this order or anything like that. But,
You get a lot of negative press, and, like, the veterans came out, which people suspect is the real clincher, but, you know.
Yeah, so,
I think it's kind of hard to, like, run a society, like, the last 2 years. We've been like, what about the vets? What about the vets? And the vets are like, we care about this. It's like, guess we kind of gotta go with these guys on this one. We talked a big game.
Yeah, so on the flip side of what about the vets, we also elected a president who insulted a Gold Star family and told John McCain that he was a loser because he got caught. But,
you know,
let's look at the victories today.
Okay. Let's look at there's not much else to say about that, especially since it's not too nerdy, but it is a good thing to mention because we do care about, you know, the world. But there is terror in the world still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like on a crisis basis, but like there's bad things in the world or weird things. And I saw a tweet for Deadpool the Duck as a comic. What the hell is it? Have you even seen this, or
what?
Is it like a fever dream I had?
Maybe it's a fever dream you have, because I have not heard a damn word about it. It's like a Howard the Duck comic, but Deadpool?
I don't know.
Are they,
it's
like
Deadpool,
going out of control?
Duck.
Like, first Gwenpool, no, now this?
Okay, so hold on. I typed it in. Okay, so there is a duck.
Okay.
He was announced at New York Comic Con. I think we just blocked that out.
Yeah, I heard nothing about this.
But yes, he's a duck who just... Is this Howard the Duck? It's Deadpool plus a duck. Maybe it's Howard the Duck. I don't know.
It looks more Daffy Duck than Howard.
Yes, it is Howard the Duck. They I don't know, one of them becomes the other one, but yeah, so now, great. That's something everybody wanted so much. It's a good thing Marvel's allocating the resources towards that.
Comics Alliance announces it, meet Marvel's most inevitable new character.
I don't think that's the most inevitable new character. I don't think there was a huge clamoring for Howard the Duck, like, in any, like, let's bring him back kind of phase, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's had his own ongoing comic for a year or so now, Howard the Duck has, and It's, I mean, I haven't read it myself, but it's by Chip Zdarsky, who does the art on Sex Criminals, and he's writing Jughead for Archie Comics, but,
I mean, but, like...
But, like, this is why...
Why are they sending their money towards that?
Yeah, there are so many things, like please... even Gwenpool seems like, why...
Like, please give Chip Zdarsky money. Please give more women money. Please give more women of color money. People of color of all genders. Great. But, like, we need a lot of money to Deadpool the Duck. Like, couldn't Chip be doing something better? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be a great story, but there's kind of like a... Deadpool feels like this oversaturated character at this point.
Yeah. I think that's what they mean by, like, the most inevitable character. Like, Deadpool has been...
But wouldn't a Spider-Man Deadpool be more inevitable? Like, well, they're both snarky.
They already did a Spider-Man / Deadpool comic book, which was, like, the most queer-baity comic book in the history of the world.
No, but I mean, like, an actual Spider-Pool. Like, not a ship of them, but, like Spider-Man gets, like, Deadpool gets Spider-Man's powers for a day, or vice versa, or whatever you would want to call it. But, like, that seems more inevitable than, who else needs to wear Deadpool's costume? How about the duck? Like, I don't know. Inevitable seems like a stretch to me, is all I'm saying.
True. I don't know what Gwenpool, I don't know what her power set is, besides quirky and
that is pink. Deadpool's power, because otherwise he's just a weird Wolverine, and who's also overexposed in the movies, but, like, like, I only know about Deadpool because of Marvel vs. Capcom. He was in the third game. Mm-hmm. And I think I saw, like, entries of him on TV Tropes, but I didn't really know, but he wasn't, like, that popular. And then he just blew up one day, I don't know why. And then there's too many Deadpools at every convention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not too many. You can't walk around without tripping over a Harley Quinn or a Deadpool. And I feel like, at least Harley's new, so there's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But Deadpool, and there wasn't even a surge after the movie, because he was already so oversaturated. That's how you know there's too many. So, I don't know. Not looking forward to it. Hopefully it's good, though. So what else we got? Broadway. We're going into Broadway.
Yeah, let's jump to Broadway, and it's not about Hamilton this time.
Yet.
So, the Cursed Child play, which is, like, raking in the dough despite, like, critical disclaim, I guess? Whatever the opposite of acclaim is. That's what pandering. I feel... Yeah, like, that's panned. What I feel like. Yeah, like... No one I know who's, like, been in the Harry Potter fandom for any amount of time, enjoyed reading the Cursed Child screenplay, stage script. I still have not read the Cursed Child stage script, despite having had it since it came out. And I won't be reading it until after Christmas, because I made a book tree out of my books, and it's in the middle of it, so it won't be moving until after Christmas. But
what kind of purposeful self-procrastination? But I mean, I feel like people are going to see it anyway. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you got tickets to it, wouldn't you go see it?
But, like, the thing, like, it's two nights, I think. It's something like that. It's a part one and a part two. Like, you have to see, it's like each being like 2.5 hours. So it's not like a one night engagement. So, but the... Burying the Lead is our specialty here on Geekly Reveal, and the moral of the story is that Cursed Child is working on coming to Broadway, which means that at least the people who will be paying exorbitant Hamilton prices for Cursed Child tickets won't have to pay for a plane flight to England on top of all that. And then the people who are paying those exorbitant prices for tickets can pay to see Lin-Manuel on London. And Cursed Child in New York.
I'd rather see Harry Potter, like, over in British land. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just feels more...
Feels righter.
It feels righter. I mean, I don't want to see it at all, but... So I have a question. I looked up, like, right when I got into Hamilton fandom, I looked up the Broadway tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And they were expensive. Like, I think they were, like, 200 when I looked at them. They weren't, like, scalped yet.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what's everyone talking about these being that expensive? Like... That, don't get me wrong, that is prohibitively expensive for most people.
But that's also an average Broadway price, like $150 to $300.
Yeah, like, to me, I was like, okay, like, if I was in New York and I was really looking forward to it, I can drop, like, $200 for something very important and just, like, be thrifty for a while. I make enough money that I can throw around here and there. I would lose a couple nights drinking. But then people said, like, rich people can't even get them, and I was like, they're getting scalped then, because there's no reason a celebrity doesn't have $200 right now. So
yeah, so what happens is, part of it is scalping. For a while, there were ticket bots, and anytime new tickets went on sale, the ticket bots would buy them, but those recently got outlawed.
That's good.
Quote-unquote, relatively recently. But part of it is just that people buy the tickets. So many people were buying tickets at list price that the demand went up, so that the box office prices went up. And then the people who are buying them for resale, if you want a center orchestra ticket for Hamilton, depending on when you buy the ticket on StubHub, like if you buy it the night of, maybe you might get a deal because someone's trying to get rid of that.
Right.
But a deal in that case is like like $700 a ticket.
That's so weird. Okay. So it's definitely approaching more prohibitively expensive, like, for even more people then.
Yeah, I mean, it's calming down since the original cast left. Like, there were tickets for Lynn's last night going for $10,000.
That seems like, I don't know, that seems so weird. Like, I don't know how I'd feel about that as, like, a creator, like.
Mm-hmm. But those, and like, again, those are the resale prices.
Right. Most of the time. It'd have been nice to be able to resell one of those, but I don't really believe in scalping if you can help it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of StubHub is just people trying to sell their, is not so much like people running a business of being on StubHub, and more people who are like couldn't make a show or.
Yeah, that's not, I don't have a problem with that. I have the people like, hey, I bought this ticket for next year. It's $10,000. Like, you're a piece of garbage for that. Like,
yeah.
Especially for shows that aren't that expensive, like a concert in your local town. It's mm-hmm. like a Beyonce concert going for 60 or something.
Yeah.
Which, again, totally privileged to be able to go to a concert, but, you know, there's a lot of people that can save up for one of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's so garbage that maybe someone saved up, like, they really scraped together for about a month or so to get a ticket to, like, their favorite artist who never comes to town, and you're like, I'm gonna scalp it. Like, that, I don't know. And it seems like a morally poor thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm looking right now, like, tomorrow if you... They start at 600 on StubHub for tomorrow's show.
That's absurdity.
So,
you think the Cursed Child? I don't think the Cursed Child's going to get to that level, though. Probably.
Well, when it first opened, it was like that. But let's see.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Just googling.
Like, I don't know how you catch lightning in a bottle to get a Broadway show that popular.
Wednesday night shows, for part one and two starts at £340. And I don't know what the exchange rate is. What kind of funny money is that?
No, I'm kidding to all our British listeners and people who use pounds. But the pound, is the pound good right now?
I think it's still shitty from Brexit.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Let's get back on track, though. Here's some more garbage, right? Like, not terrible garbage, mm-hmm. but, like, odd garbage.
Odd garbage.
Yeah. So I saw some stuff about this, but you know a little bit more about it. There's a new Mummy movie coming out. Who the hell asked for that?
Yeah, so the more I'm looking at it, the more I'm just confused about it rather than angry. Because people, like, for some reason, the studio and people who are making it and involved in it are calling it a reboot. But, like, it has about as much plot and story relation to the Brendan Fraser Mummy as the Brendan Fraser Mummy did to the original, like, Universal Studios Mummy.
Okay.
Which is to say, almost nothing at all. Like, it has no, like, there's no, like, Anak Sinamun, there's no Imhotep, like, Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz's characters are not being, like, recast. It's, like, it's just a different movie about a mummy that's called The Mummy. Like,
oh, I can't wait to partake in The Mummy's expanded universe.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know, it's kind of like, making a Ghostbusters comparison is not the right, it's not exactly right, but, like, it's kind of like there are two movies called Ghostbusters that are both about people who bust ghosts that have no...
but that's, that felt like a proper reboot, though, because it's like, this didn't happen in the same world, well, I didn't see it, but from what I heard, it's not sure if it's like a reboot or sequel type world, even though it's a reboot.
Yeah, it's not officially a sequel world.
But... I don't know. Why would, so this mummy movie is not like the same world then?
From what I can tell,
I like
not.
That idea. Like, because that's a cool idea. Like, hey, we want to bring another mummy movie. Brendan Fraser's story's over or whatever. No one cares about it anymore, whatever it might be. But here's a story with like the same kind of magic as possible or whatever there was. I didn't see those movies, but
they're the idea of that's magnificent. Cool. I know you really don't like see movies, Magnificent, but or... I love the first one. The second one's all right. The third one, third and fourth, we don't talk about, but...
Well, I can't take Brendan Fraser seriously after I saw him in Bamboozled, which was the first movie I saw him in. So I'm like, who is this dude?
Well, I saw him in George of the Jungle first, so...
I mean, okay, I forgot he was in that, and I was there when I mean... I didn't watch that movie. I just was aware of that movie. And I was near that movie when it was playing. I didn't actively watch it. I saw it at the drive-thru, though. The drive-in. The drive-thru movie. The shortest movies you'll ever see. The drive-thru movie theater.
Over in 1 minute and a half or less.
Not the McDonald's I go to. Okay, cool. Who's in it? Tom Cruise?
It's Tom Cruise and some girl that I didn't recognize. And I think the mummy is being played by Sophia Boutella, who was the alien girl in the latest Star Trek movie. Zyla? I can't remember her name. It's ended with a Y-L-A-H, so it's something like that. Isla.
Hey there, Lyle.
But she's playing the mummy. And, like, on that side of things, like, that's kind of cool, like... Hopefully she'll be, like, an exciting and interesting female villain, as opposed to just, like a sexy female villain. But we'll hopefully. See. Tom Cruise I'll probably still prefer him in my favorite role of his, which is, as we mentioned last week, The Vampire Lestat. But maybe he'll do a good job. Action movies are actually his thing, as opposed to playing a gay vampire, so.
Has anyone really nailed down being a, almost... use a bad turn of phrase there. Did anyone nail down being a good gay vampire recently?
Not in recent films.
Okay.
I mean, like, Kristen Stewart pulls it off in real life, but I don't know about...
What do you mean?
I mean, she just looks like a gay vampire.
Okay. Later. You know what?
if I had to imagine what the modern gay vampire would look like, it would be something like Kristen Stewart, I feel like.
And Lord, right?
Yeah.
You know, we don't always need live action adaptations of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like an Adventure Time one. Mostly just so we could have Kristen Stewart play Marceline. Because I think she would kill it, actually.
Yeah, actually.
And then, I don't know who would play Princess Bubblegum. Some other gay woman or bisexual woman.
Yeah. Kate McKinnon's too old.
Princess Bubblegum's like 300 years old.
True. Or something ridiculous. She looks 18.
That's because of the art style, I feel like.
True.
You look the same until you get super old. Even the Ice King doesn't look that old without his beard.
True.
Poor Simon. Anyway, yeah, let's cast that one day. But last little bit of news for this first part. Did you see the new Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer? The new one?
I saw that it was out, and it had Groot and Rocket in it, but I did not actually watch it yet. Is it a real trailer or just a teaser for the trailer? Because one of my big beefs with the Mummy movie was that they'd released a trailer teaser, which was teasing the trailer.
I mean, isn't that what all teasers are, kind of?
Yeah, like, usually it's a teaser teasing the movie, but instead it was, like, trailer releases on Sunday, and I was like,
that's
what
an announcement.
Have we become?
You just have typed those words. Why did you have to get an art team and a sound team to tell me this? Get the intern to tweet it out. It's coming.
Seriously.
No, it's actually a trailer. I mean, okay. They call it a teaser trailer, but it's...
Mm-hmm, but it's just like a short trailer.
I guess it's the kind of... It's not even that short. It just doesn't... I don't think it really gets to the plot that much. I think that's why it's a teaser.
Okay.
I still have no idea what the movie's about, but there's definitely like... It's fleshing out a good bit of stuff. It's a good trailer. You should watch it over the break, and then we could probably talk about it in the next part.
Okay.
Because it's worth talking about. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
The good, the bad, the nerdy, the ugly, whatever.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the nerdy. I definitely got that from Andre the Black Nerd. I don't want to bite somebody's shtick, so I'm going to just point out where I got that from. You know, you kind of just repeat stuff you hear sometimes, and you're like, oh, it's... And you realize, oh, I stole that from somebody. Crap. It was an accident. Shout out to that guy. He's very cool. Anything else before this break, my friend?
I don't think so. I think let's jump right into it.
So, yes, there's music. Yeah, and here's a break, and we'll see you after the break. We'll be right back. drill. It'll be in the show notes. Go support people. Listen to the jams. Give us suggestions if you like more stuff. And hey, something new we can say. If you like the music or don't, you can give us an iTunes review and tell us how we're doing.
Hey,
you can do that now. Rate the show. You can tell us if the music's good, if we're good. Isn't it amazing? We live in a great world.
Woo, technology.
The world's getting better, slowly but surely, I hope. But that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer, so you just saw it.
I did.
So it's still fresh in your mind, probably fresher than mine, because I didn't just watch it. What do you think?
I think it's definitely still got the humor of the first one. I am kind of, I know it was inevitable, but it's kind of annoying that they're going to keep on having Chris Pine over, over Gamora. I know. Go ahead.
I hope it stays unrequited. That might actually be like a nice twist on the hero gets the girl thing.
Yeah, that would
be
neat.
It's just never going to happen, dude. Sorry. Like, please keep doing this for the entirety of this franchise. And it just is not working. Like, let Chris Pratt play like a schlubby Star-Lord. I feel like that's good.
Yeah.
I like Drax. He's still pretty cool.
Drax is pretty cool. Groot's freaking adorable.
Marvel wants all the money. This movie's just about Baby Groot.
Yeah. This movie is just one huge merchandising opportunity for every Baby Groot toy that you can imagine.
There's going to be so many.
That's
good. I mean, Gamora looks to be doing some cool stuff in that trailer too, so at least she seems like she'll have an arc again this time.
More of an arc than last time, because I definitely feel that one of my biggest beefs with the first movie was they've kind of cast aside Gamora and Nebula's arc in favor of Chris Pratt. And they seemed like the more compelling, like, richer characters.
Did Chris Pratt have an arc? Because it seems like his whole goal was just to keep... Like, I don't
really.
Because it seemed like... I wonder... I want to give him credit. I hope they're doing, like, an anti thing. You know? Like, oh man, we're hyping up this romance that never happens. Everybody around Star-Lord has a great story, but we're going to focus on him. Like, like kind of like a Scott Pilgrim thing where people say, hey, you know, no one... In the movie, nobody passes the Bechdel test, and they point out in the comics that Scott doesn't talk to anybody about their problems at all. Like, everyone else is a satellite character to the point that, you know, it doesn't excuse the Bechdel test from not being passed, but it's almost like, does anybody have a conversation that doesn't relate to Scott because it's kind of, this movie's told from his perspective kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an interesting dynamic if you make it obvious is that what you're doing, you're not just sidelining women, you know? It would be interesting to see that in Guardians, because, like, Drax's whole species potentially is like he is.
Uh-huh.
And that could be an interesting thing to explore. Like, why is Rocket a raccoon that can talk when that seems to be even to him kind of weird? Where did Groot come from? These are all way more interesting stories than, well, we abducted this white dude on Earth a couple of years ago. He really likes 80s music. That's it. That's his entire story. He's like, I should save the universe because I don't want to die. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So, like, if they purposely, like, inverted, that could be cool, I guess. Well, you know, there's another female character. That's cool. Still not as many as Black Panther, but whatevs.
Yeah, well, nothing's really ever going to top Black Panther, I feel like. Like, come in on, any category.
Catch up white people.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so we got some other cool stuff. I guess we can... This is still Marvel-related, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite has been announced. So,
did they run out of numbers?
I have no idea what happened on that. so, one would think 4 would come after 3.
Yeah,
not a sideways 8. what some people are thinking is it has to do something with the licensing. So, it's coming out in 2017, which they announced it really close to launch for a video game of this... level of hype, I guess.
Yeah.
But there's something to do with the way the Marvel characters are licensed. So apparently there's not going to be any mutants in this one. Wolverine, Storm, Phoenix aren't going to be in this one because of, like, copyright reasons, which is fine by me because they were some of the more annoying characters to deal with without necessarily being great. They were just annoying. I did like playing as X-23. And I don't know where that leaves Deadpool, but apparently Spider-Man is safe. Like, I think it's like a Sony license. I know he's not a mutant. When watching some of the gameplay trailer, I had noticed that Captain Marvel, who's in it, seems to move similarly to how Phoenix did. So I think they're going to, like, get new characters to play the old role. So look forward to someone who is Wolverine but isn't a mutant. but yeah, the reveal trailer was nice.
Hercules or something.
Oh, yeah,
the,
yeah.
The Marvel Hercules, not the Disney Hercules.
I assumed. But no, it looked pretty cool. The art style is nice in the game. The trailer's kind of wonky, but it featured Mega Man X and Ryu from Street
Nice.
Fighter fighting against Iron Man and Captain Marvel. So it's nice that there's a woman in the trailer. But yeah, so I mean, it's a cool trailer. Not much else to say about new gameplay. It's 2-on-2 instead of 3-on-3. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if I'll buy it, but I'll probably play it. So,
Yeah, probably play it at someone's house at some point.
well, it's slated for Xbox One and PS4, which I don't have, but also for Steam. But video games have a horrible track record of getting PC ports, so it might be hot garbage and not work, or it might be great. So I'll have to wait for the reviews. Can't pre-order that because you're not getting me for $60. So we get some more game news. You actually posted this one despite your self-admitted not gamerness. What do we got here?
Naughty Dog, I best I can say, is announced Christmas early. They announced another Uncharted game, which I believe I didn't follow it as closely as I did the other announcement because I'm not as invested in the story arcs of those characters. But I believe it follows two of the characters, Nadine and someone else from the most recent game, rather than Nate himself.
Right. I saw some hot takes on this.
Do tell.
Let me rephrase that. Okay, hot takes makes it sound like I'm about to tell you all about the sexism that probably existed. I didn't see it, but I'm assuming it was there. But no, someone said that they're looking forward to this game a lot because, in their words, they played Tomb Raider, but they were annoyed that the whole game seemed to be trying to make Lara feel like a damsel in distress that gets her, like her whole character arc is dealing with abuse or tragedy. And he's like, but Naughty Dog actually knows how to flesh out female characters without making them take tragedy, so this game will probably be good. So that's the take that I saw, and that seems to be a promising idea for fans.
Yeah, definitely. I know one of my best friends and my brother are the ones who, well, my friend is the one who brought Naughty Dog games into my life in at least the more recent ones. I mean, they made Crash Bandicoot, and my brother's been playing that since he was old enough to hold a controller.
You mean Izzy, right?
Yeah,
Your
Izzy.
friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on the show.
He was on the
Guest,
show. Oh, shit.
friend of character reveal. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah. Go check out the episode.
yeah, Izzy Smith's friend of character reveal. He came to my house one weekend from across the state and said, "I think you should play this game." And we put it in, and we sat there for like 15 hours while I played through the game and like ordered pizza and like laid on my couch, and it was amazing.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, and then my brother picked it up and started playing it. And then The Last of Us. I never played The Last of Us because the zombies in the first Uncharted game were enough for me. but The Last of Us, I have watched play be being played several, the probably at least a dozen times because my brother replays it very fairly often. He's obsessed with just the
Nathan
entire.
Drake and Ellen Page.
Yeah, Nathan Drake and Ellen Page, exactly. He loves Ellie more than anything. He like, and she's such a like a compelling character, even though she is Ellen Page. Nothing against Ellen Page. I love Ellen Page also, but
Everybody does. I have never heard an
yes,
ill thought
it's
towards Ellen
actually
Page.
illegal to hate Ellen Page. but yeah, they also released a trailer for The Last of Us 2, which I knew was a trailer for the set, like, and my brother said this, and I totally agree with him that it would have been much cooler to, if someone had just like been like, "Hey, check out this," and like sent the link to a video, and you had to wait for the reveal that it was Ellie and Joel.
Oh yeah, because it was at the PlayStation Experience, which is their press conference, not at E3. So it probably was a surprise there, but.
Yeah, so like it comes in on Ellie playing the guitar and like singing a song, and then it zooms. So all you see are hands first, and then it zooms out, and it's like, oh yeah, it's definitely Ellie. Short, like shorter hair, a lot older, like different scars and stuff. And Joel comes in, like dead people all over the place. Like Ellie's bleeding a little. Like Joel comes in, and he's like, "You serious about this, kiddo?" And everyone's heart twinges a little. And she says, "I'm gonna kill every last one of them," or something like that.
Ooh,
So.
badass Ellie.
She's probably going after the fireflies for trying to cut her brain open, probably, but you know, like you
You
do.
know, I was gonna say spoiler alert, but
It's
that's an
an
old
old
game.
game at this point. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I never played it. I don't know.
Oh,
I
yeah.
just I just saw some spoilers about what was going on in that. I don't know. I should probably play that game.
You should probably play that game. It's Andrew's favorite game in the entire world. He has played it through on, like, every level of difficulty. Every time they introduce a new level of difficulty, he has to play through it again. The highest level is something called, like Murderbot or something. The word isn't, like, insane because, like, Naughty Dog knows not to be that ableist with their Naughty Dog or with their level titling, but it's, like, crushing.
It's,
crushing difficult. Like, it's above hard and extreme or something like that. Like, crushing.
It's the, acceptable substitute for insane.
Yeah. So, but I really think the story is very interesting. So, I look forward to it coming out so that I can sit and watch it being played whenever I go home on breaks.
You might have to just watch a Twitch stream or a Let's Play. You should dive into that.
I could dive into that world, but then I wouldn't get the upside of hearing my brother freak out and curse at the television in our living room.
funny. Cool. Do you know when it comes out?
Not the slightest clue.
Okay. Well, it'll come out one day.
Probably next year sometime.
Yeah, Naughty Dog's good about not...
Yeah. They're also
being weird with dates.
Releasing for the old school Naughty Dog fans, they're also releasing a remastered Crash Bandicoot trilogy. So
yeah, there's that and remastered Parappa the Rapper, and it's like those games probably shouldn't come out again. Like, because anytime people go back and play Crash, like, wait a minute, this actually kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, all these levels are exactly the same.
Yeah, and it's, you could tell how, like, you start, like, I've seen videos about it, but it talks about all the shortcuts and, like, interesting things it did to get around the small amount of data available on a PlayStation 1 disc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually really inventive, and they did a really cool job and a cool thing, but...
But something you don't have to worry about on a...
Yeah, so you would actually make, like, a... Like, if someone released a game like Crash Bandicoot with today's technology that wasn't a remaster, people would laugh you out of the game industry.
Mm-hmm.
And Parappa the Rapper, I don't know, is not as on beat as it seems like it is. I don't know, it's weird. But yeah, people are probably happy about that, and if people are happy, I'm happy, because why hate on someone else's enjoyment when it doesn't hurt people?
Exactly.
Well, speaking of things that are... I don't have a transition to this, because I have no idea how to even talk about this. The Game Awards were Thursday.
Well, going from an old game of the year, The Last of Us, to...
Oh, yes.
Hey, there you go.
This year's game of the year. Yeah, so according to the Game Awards from Jeff Keighley, I believe... A lot of people are down on the Game Awards because it's, like, this big show of, like, consumerism and there's ads and lots of cheesy stuff, but I don't know. I watched the Oscars and the Tonys and the Grammys and the VMAs, so, like, people are like, oh, there's product placement. It's like, yeah, but that's kind of what they do, and no one else seems to be jumping up to give, like, a nice legitimacy to video games the way that this seems to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone needs to come along and do a better version of it if that's what they want, but, Yeah, there was the Game Awards were there, and Game of the Year, Overwatch, show favorite. It beat out some good games, which is, it's good when you have a game that beats out other good games, because you know you had a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Also got Best Game Direction, yeah, Uncharted won a lot of stuff, narrative.
Yeah, I saw that.
Performance.
Nolan North won for something?
Yeah, Best Performer, I don't know, Nolan North playing himself. But some women got nominated for that category. I believe a man of color. I'm assuming by their name it's wrong of me, but they played a black guy. I think Lincoln Clay in Mafia 3 was black. A game I should have played. Mafia 3 was, like, set in, I think, the 60s, during, like, very racist times, and they handle racism directly. Like, it's in the game. They don't dance around it. They're not like, oh, there wasn't any racism in the 60s. Like, it's actually... Like, it's a game mechanic, which I think is a good thing to do. Like, if you go into a store that says, we only serve whites or, like, no coloreds, you get, like, a trespassing warning and, like, people harass you and might call the cops. So I think that's an interesting mechanic to put in.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I'm assuming there's missions where you have to go into a whites-only bar or establishment, I'd assume, because that raises the risks. If there's not, then I feel like that's a missed opportunity, but someone who played the game probably knows it's probably there. As far as the Game Awards... The only category with below 5 nominees is Fighting Game of the Year, because there apparently were only 4. What else? So we had a Trending Gamer category. People are a little upset that there were no... there's only men in this category. Mm. I've only heard of 2 of them out of 5. I don't know who these... I guess I heard of the 3. But it was like in an Undertale compilation video, so I don't really know what he does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they need to get more trending gamers that are women. Well, no, what we should do is just have no trending gamers, but if they're going to have that as
yeah,
a thing...
Yeah, if you have to have a trending gamer category.
Women and, you know, people of all genders should be involved. I don't know if any of them are people of color. I don't care enough about this award show to look at it. and then the esports category. So, you know, it's a good thing to have. I think as an idea, you know, a lot of the product placement's kind of corny and it's kind of overdone, but... A lot of it's like just showing trailers and stuff too, so it's pretty much a hype machine. But I don't. Award shows are more. They're not about the awards. They've never been. They're about the perform. I didn't watch the Grammys to see who won the Grammys. I wanted to watch a performance. You know, the Tonys. I was just hoping the Hamilton would do something, and I wanted to hear Lin-Manuel give a live freestyle. I didn't need to see them win their awards. I knew they would. Also, the Stanley Cup was on at the same time, which that was nice to watch both. Yay, Pittsburgh.
Woo.
But any thoughts on the Game Awards, Steph? It's kind of a meh.
Eh, not really. Them. I'm glad, happy for Overwatch. Good for them.
Me too.
Still haven't really sat down to play it, but...
Oh, you'll get your chance. No worries.
I have it forever now, until this computer breaks. Well, I had even before that, because it's on my Blizzard account, so...
Yeah, so you'll have it as long as that company doesn't go under. I know a lot of people are down on it because of the microtransaction system in it, which is definitely a piece of garbage and a horrible thing to put in a game like that. Like, you can buy more loot boxes to get cosmetic equipment and stuff, but it's random what you get, so you can never directly buy one of the things with real-world money. And they have events where, so it's like, if you don't get the things that you want, it's kind of like you pay to buy the game, and you have to pay more to get, like, their cosmetic things. Or you don't have to pay if you just play enough, which is a weird thing, and that's kind of... cynical and capitalist garbage, but as far as the game, it's one of the best. So congrats to that. I gotta start working on cosplay for it, so it's gonna be Lucio probably. Anyway,
I'd be shocked.
So
be shocked if you were anyone else.
Really?
Yeah,
be shocked.
I would be shocked because Lucio is like such a very you character.
That's true. Yeah, if anybody else, it'd be like a gender bent Sombra.
Yeah, true.
Or a crossplay Sombra, because she's cool as hell.
She is cool.
Anyway,
as hell.
Yes, all the cool stuff. So yeah, cool stuff. So I have an idea for what track I want to play if I can find it. But if not, you're still going to be hearing music right about now. So yeah, I'll see you guys after the break.
Hey, man, don't give up. Let's get patched up. Back ceiling booms. We move together as one.
Music will be fading out there. You can get the information for all of that in the show notes as per the huge. And since you're here and my voice bringing you back, that means it's time for our last segment of the night of the week, which is the stuff we got this week segment.
Oh, yeah. Let's break it down. Cool.
Yeah.
Steph.
Yeah.
What'd you get this week?
The only thing I got this week is a Christmas tree. It is about 3.5 feet tall. It cost I am much taller than 3.5 feet tall.
Okay, that's fair.
It cost about $10 a foot.
Like
because
me.
I live in New York. And a real tree from the street is expensive as hell.
You bought a real tree.
I bought a real tree. I thought about getting a fake tree, but I actually don't have anywhere where I could keep a fake tree when it was not Christmas. There's one place left in my apartment that I could put anything to store, and I am here for at least another 8 months, so I'd like to not fill up every bit of storage space in the first 5.
You don't have any room under your bed?
Do you know how much cosplay stuff is under my bed, Dom? There's 40 costumes and all my fabric under my bed.
Okay. That's... okay, maybe not then.
Yeah, I had to get risers just so that, like, I have a box full of spray paint under my bed. Like, I had to get risers to lift my bed up an additional foot so that I could put all of the stuff under my bed.
You could throw some of it away.
Could cut off my hand. Like...
For cosplay though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know.
Well...
I'm gonna cosplay McCree, so I can just, like, cut off my hand and then glue on, like, well, there you go.
Yeah, and I know you're left-handed, and I know right hands are probably really high on the market right now, though, so, you know.
Yeah.
That's morbid, whatever. So, is it a nice tree? Does it smell nice?
It is a nice tree. It smells nice. It's exactly what my apartment could fit and needs. Like, I actually had to take down all of the books on the top of my one bookshelf and restack them into a little, like, tree, a Christmas book tree, so that I could have space on the rest of the bookshelf to put the tree, because there's literally no place on my floor where it would fit. But it's very cute. All of the stars and angels in the dollar store where I bought my ornaments were too big for the top of it, so I just bought a star-shaped ornament that was, like, gold and sparkly and wasn't, like, it wasn't solid, so I could just kind of, like, bend one of the little, like, spires out and shove the top of the tree into it. But it looks really cute.
That's cool.
And all of my Sailor Scouts, which I finally set up all of the Sailor Scouts, are in a circle around the bottom of the tree, and my cat hates them. She has knocked down at least four of them. Why is your cat a homophobe? She wants the water in the base of the tree for herself because she's a thirsty bitch.
Hashtag relatable. I was talking about myself. That's
I
have problems I need to work through.
So that's my one thing I got this week.
We don't have a tree yet, but we'll probably get one. Kind of fake tree or tiny real one.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it won't cost you $10 per foot of tree in Pennsylvania. I'm pretty sure we got our giant 6 foot, like, 6 foot wide, 6 foot tall tree at my house for that much last year.
You built that tree, like, super late.
True. Oh, yeah. Were you with us when you bought that one, or was it the year before last?
Yes. I was with you guys last year. Your mom's like, you want to go get a tree with us? So,
like, it's okay, the 23rd.
Oh, we didn't have our tree yet, so I wasn't put off. I was just like, yeah, I'll join in your family escapades. Which, it was nice, and I think we ate pizza that day. Was that when we saw Star Wars?
It may have been around the same time. Well, no, because we saw Star Wars after Christmas, so we would not have, we would have at least had the tree before then. So I think you were just over every weekend that around that time.
Oh, yeah. I was there when you guys burned the tree, which I think was like in June or something. Oh, jeez. What a world. Oh, Lord. What a world. Anyway, yeah, I got some stuff this week, too. I got a pin from T-Fury.
Nice.
It's not a safety pin, because I don't do performative allyship. Hey, shots fired. It's high noon. No, I got a little Hyrule, Hylian Shield, like the Master Shield. Is it the Master Shield? Okay. I'm kind of a fake Zelda fan. I only played, like, two Zelda games, but it's the main shield that Link has. Looks pretty cool. I have two enamel pins now, and I'm very excited. Now I just need wear them.
Now you just need something to pin them to.
Yeah, probably. I should do my Twitter costume again, because that's good for pins.
It is good for pins.
And hopefully I won't lose any more... I won't fake lose pins. So I don't have to keep buying more copies of the same pin again. Yeah, it's getting stupidly expensive. It's not even expensive. It's just it's literally a waste of money, because I don't need to keep doing this. But yeah, I also finally got the full Hamilton mixtape.
Woo! Still have not got mine, because my mom bought... I don't know if Andrew sent you the Snapchat of my mom's collection of Hamilton mixtapes, but she has, like, 10. Like, there was a pyramid of mixtapes.
I think she did say... She offered one towards me.
Yeah, so she's going to send me one, but she is visiting family in this state right now, so she won't be going back to Pennsylvania until Tuesday.
So she can't get them.
So she cannot get them and give them to me.
Well, I was thirsty for rap music. I mean, there's a bountiful amount of hip hop coming out this month. Actually, Childish Gambino's album came out the same day, and apparently this is his best one yet. And he's moving further and further away from, like, all the stuff that was problematic about him.
Mm-hmm.
it's kind of something different. And then I think Drake and J. Cole and Absol, like, a lot of hip-hop coming out this month. So the Hamilton mixtape wasn't exactly a hip-hop album. It just featured a lot of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And I reviewed it, and you can see my review slash social justice critique on Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. That's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. Shameless plug. But, no. Yeah, so I got it. I pre-ordered it because I wanted to get it as soon as possible because I wanted to review it and get one of the reviews up. I am looking forward to a physical copy. It's pretty dope, actually.
I know you said you've turned the tables.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Tables have tabled.
So that Helpless cover by Jeru and Ashanti, I don't know if it just works better. Like, I listened to it on my good headphones,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if there was just, like, a lower quality copy had come out before, if it just sounded bad in my earbuds, but I listened to it on my studio headphones, and I was like, this sounds a lot more tolerable, still a little awkward, but now it sounds good, so I don't know if this previous song just flows into it real nicely, but it grew on me a lot, so sorry, Jeru and Ashanti, you guys aren't a 3 out of 10, my bad, I mean, Lin knows what he's doing with getting people, so of course, but, the whole album is this flame emojis all day. It's good.
Excellent.
And just like a little intro or preview to what I talk about in the review. So one of the main critiques Hamilton got was, even though it's a lot of people of color, it's not a story about people of color. It's still just a story about white dudes, which is, that irony is exacerbated by Lin-Manuel Miranda telling David Diggs that he is a slaver. And you're like, well... Jefferson was
like,
I see what you're doing here, but no. And also, there weren't, like, women kind of took a sideline on there. Mm-hmm. Not so much the female people, like, they took a sideline because apparently that's how history actually went. But there's no reason why someone couldn't, like, a woman couldn't have played Hamilton, which happened in drunk history, mm-hmm. which is that was two very beautiful women.
Oh my god. I don't think I've ever seen Alia Shawkat in anything before, but oh my god.
Neither have I, but guess what I did?
What?
There's no... That's a stupid thing to ask.
That could be a very awkward answer.
Yeah, now it's going to be awkward. I went on IMDb and I was like, have I seen her somewhere before? Because she looked like, she's pretty hot, but like familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, who does she look like? And she was on an episode of Broad City. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, but I didn't see that episode. And it says, she played in one episode Alana's lookalike / romantic interest. And I'm like, huh? So I looked, I'm like, oh, they do kind of look like vaguely alike, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the episode was based on the fact that they kind of hook up from this party because they look exactly alike. And the twist is, you know, she's cool with this. She's like, this girl's just so great. And then her best friend Abby's like, hey, you totally look exactly alike. And it, like, is this weird realization for her. She's like, oh, I can't handle this. Like, it starts freaking her out.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks the girl who played Hamilton, like, doesn't it bother you that we look alike? She's like, I thought that's why we were hooking up. Like, it's obvious that we look exactly alike. So it's this funny whole thing. But yeah, there were an Aubrey Plaza, you know.
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza is also A+.
Let's not be creepers, but...
Let's not be creepers, but, you know, she's
that's my She's my celebrity crush, is all I'm saying. Ironically enough, I think Donald Glover agrees with that. I think he wrote it in a song once.
Aww.
I don't know. To bring it all back around. But no. So yeah, so women get chances to do a little bit more on the Hamilton mixtape. The lead has been uncovered. You know, they sing... I think Kelly Clarkson sings the song, It's Quiet Uptown. So it's nice to have a female voice there instead of just, like, men's voices and stuff. There's a few more white dudes in there. Like I said, the guy from Fun is in the background, so he's almost not there.
Oh, yeah.
And Watsky, who's kind of like a... You remember that video from a while ago, Pell Kid Raps Fast? Did you ever see that before?
I think so.
Yeah, so that's Watsky, and he, like... Okay. I've heard some of his other music. He's a pretty competent rapper. He's pretty cool.
Cool.
But he got to do the open letter to John Adams, which was actually an extended cut from something that was supposed to be... That was cut from the musical.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more voices of color in there. Women get to sing some stuff. They get some verses. They do, instead of Say No to This, it's Say Yes to This by Jill Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think it's Mariah Reynolds. Some people think it's just a song by Jill Scott. Doesn't matter. It could be both. It represents both. But it's nice to hear from that side rather than just from Hamilton's unreliable narrator side.
Yeah, I wonder, I don't listen to the radio at all, but I'm wondering if any of these songs are going to actually make it to the radio, since they're not as mired in the, like, they're not just straight from the soundtrack.
So, Kelly Clarkson's It's Quiet Uptown absolutely could, if that was more enjoyable to listen to.
Mm.
It's beautiful, but that's not, I don't want to hear that all the time.
Yeah,
because right? It's still sad, especially if, like, I don't know, it doesn't work without context. Some of the rap songs could potentially get on a rap radio, but they're not going to get the pop radio because black people and people of color. They could. John Legend sings History Has Eyes on You, and it's very different than the one in the musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like more upbeat. It's really nice. I think people would like that too. And Chance the Rapper's Dear Theodosia might get on there, because it's called Dear Theodosia Reprise, but it's not the reprise that was cut from the musical, which,
mm-hmm.
Okay, that's probably nice, because that is depressing as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But it has like a, I don't know, Chance is really cool. He can sing pretty cool. They do like this vocoder section at the end. But yeah, the Immigrant Song is good. There's like Immigrant Song Story. There's a female rapper on there. And I know it's not great to qualify female MCs as female MCs, but unfortunately the rap game is still, most of the mainstream rappers are men. Mm-hmm. So it's something worth pointing out. And I think she has the best verse on the album, actually.
Nice.
She has some really great wordplay. And then there's some Filipino singers on there. So I think there's a lot of people in there. There's famous, like, there's more well-known names to the hip-hop heads, like The Roots, Nas, Usher's in there, Kelly Clarkson's in there, but then there's people I've never heard of that I want to look up now, so.
Cool.
Yes. Flame emoji, flame emoji, flame emoji.
I heard he's already working on mixtape part 2.
So, the dude's nonstop, as per the pun goes, so there's some stuff that's on the cutting room floor that just didn't get done in time for the first one, so he's already on those. And dude needs to take a break, man.
Take a break and get away.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
No, not congratulations. That's on there. That's it's the congratulations that was cut from the musical as well. That didn't fit. It didn't fit in the musical because it would have slowed down the pacing in a way. Even though everyone says it was a good song, Lynn says it was a good song, it just didn't fit for the musical. But that's mm-hmm. dope too. So, yeah. I look forward to the second one, but this will hold me over for a while. So, a lot of music coming out this month, and hopefully this will be a great year for music.
Yeah.
Protest songs, hopefully yeah. people will make good ones. Punk rock should be able to come back this year pretty strong.
Yeah, for real. Hope.
Good anti-establishment rap should come back. We need the 2016 version of NWA. You know, if we could maybe hold back on the misogyny and homophobia, but all the other stuff, that'd be pretty good. maybe it's the time for the nerds to rise up and spit our takes out, you know, who knows.
Yeah.
But that's everything. I think that's everything. That's everything. Yeah, that's
so.
Everything.
I think it's everything.
Time to kick them with some social media business. Oh, man. Is it that time?
It's that time. I'll get it this time.
You want to go?
I'll go. Yeah, you did it last time. I got this.
Kick it.
All right. So, if you want to find us on Twitter, you can find us by looking for Character Rev. That's Character R-E-V. 2 R's in the middle, no spaces, no punctuation. You can find Dom and I separately on Twitter at Brother Dom and at Captain Steph. You can find Dom pretty much anywhere else on the internet, also at Brother Dom. You can find me at Snowqueer on Tumblr. You can find this podcast on Facebook by looking for Character Reveal. You'll notice those blue curtains. You know what the logo looks like by now, I hope. You can listen to words the two of us have written, and by listen, I mean read with your eyes or a screen reader or whatever way you're taking in the text on a page.
By scent.
You can
smells great.
Take that in if you want to read our words, our long-form thoughts about things from a feminist, geeky, intersectional perspective. You can go to ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com, where both of us write regularly. And if you want to follow this podcast and subscribe, you can do that now on iTunes. You can You can rate us and write a review, too, if you're feeling up to it. That'd be cool.
Whoop, whoop, whoo.
And if you don't have an iPhone and have been following us on your other item.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that. And you can find us on Stitcher, on Google Play, on pretty much whatever podcast catcher you want to use. And if not, you can throw our RSS feed into something and you'll find us. It's all on all on Twitter.
Yeah, it's so great. And you can find us at what? Characterreveal.simplecast.fm.
That's the
one. It's like the home base.
It's home base.
There it is. And that's pretty much everything. Steph, you killed it.
Oh, thank you.
It was so good I had to Snapchat it.
Aw, shit.
If you like it, then you should have put a snap on it. But listeners, thank you so much for sticking with us. Thank you for all the kind words we've heard casually, any compliments we've got. You know, thanks for sticking around, checking all the character reveal episodes out. We have another one coming this week. You know, we took a break last week of the character reveal just with Thanksgiving. It was kind of funky. But we had to get the episode with Mikey out because it was talking about Stufflebus, which was last week. I think they stuffed, what, like 57 buses or something full of toys for the Toys for Tots?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's, you know, it's a very great thing they do here in the city of Pittsburgh. So the kids that celebrate Christmas can be sure to have some gifts. If anyone knows about any charities or things like that that kind of support winter holidays for children that don't celebrate Christmas for any whatever reason, either they're underprivileged or they're of a different religion or they don't celebrate holidays, or maybe I don't know, whatever reason why you wouldn't celebrate Christmas, there's millions that are, and they're all valid, but if there's any of those and there's charities that support those kids, give us a shout. I'd like to promote it, maybe throw some dollars to underprivileged kids besides just the ones that celebrate Christmas, because this is a nation of immigrants and it is a melting pot. So people of color, people of other religions, sexualities, genders, all that kind of stuff besides the mainstream. Gotta support it, you know?
Heck yeah.
But yes, long story short, that's why we had an episode up the week of Thanksgiving rather than last week. But we still needed a break because that turkey puts you to sleep. But we'll have another one coming up this week. We think you guys will like it. It's another Canadian episode, and those are always interesting and fun. So, until next time, see you later.
Bye.